Accession number 27308, real one.
Ronald Walsh, wheel one. Ronald, can you tell me when and where you were born, please?
Yeah, I was born at Lymington in near Southampton in 1920, on the 5th of March 1920.
And what was Lymington like when you were a child?
Well, it was a lovely south coast town, yachting centre with the Lymington Yacht Club, Royal Yacht Club, Lymington Royal Yacht Club, a lovely place, actually. I up to the age I joined the Sea Cubs, and I joined the Sea Scouts, and went to, up the Lymington River learning to sail. We used to have trips the weekend across to the Isle of Wight, to Gurnard or Yarmouth, and it was quite interesting. I was a choir boy at the All Saints Church at Lymington. There were some well-known people there. It's a very desirable retirement place for people.
What did your father do for a living?
Well, my father was in the Royal Navy for 27 years in the Boer War, and when he came out after the Great War, he went into the Coast Guards. And he was based at Brooke over the Isle of Wight. And then after he decided to leave the Coast Guards, he came to Lymington to settle down. And that's where I was born, about 2 months after we came from the Isle of Wight.
And did he ever tell you about his times in the Navy when you were a child?
No, not that I know of, except that it was sailing ships and he was up the rigging and all this lot, but he didn't say a lot. He was always buried behind his newspaper, and I was only a nipper, so I left him to it.
What about your education?
Ah, no, education. I went to the Lymington Church of England School, and quite frankly, I wasn't very interested in it. I didn't like school very much. I preferred to be away from it. I was at the Lymington C of E until I was about 13 and a half.
Did you enjoy any sports or hobbies while you were a child?
Not really, no.
But you enjoyed the Sea Cubs and the Sea...
Yeah, that was all fine, yeah.
Had you intended to join the Navy in while you were a child, or was that something that...
Not really, because I had brothers in the Navy. And one of my brothers, the oldest of my brothers, went to Greenwich School in London, and I used to listen to him when he came home on leave. They only had 3 leaves a year, and I thought, well, that discipline is a bit strict. And my dad was always hopeful that I would follow in the other brothers and join Greenwich first, and then the Royal Navy.
Is that the Greenwich School?
Yeah. That's the Greenwich School. It's not Greenwich School now. It's the Royal Hospital School at Ipswich.
And was that where children would go for an education generally leading into the Navy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I went to Greenwich after I'd passed... Eventually I fell in after quite a lot of turmoil. I agreed to go to Greenwich with my father. My father took me to London, and I passed education, I passed medically. And I went to Greenwich, but it wasn't there anymore. I was taken on up to the Royal Hospital School at Ipswich. It was a lovely place, a massive place. Acres and acres of rolling sports fields down to the River Orwell, I think it was the Orwell, and a great big massive colonnade with a church tower in the middle, a clock tower in the middle, big parade ground, mass, everything. It was beautiful.
And how was the school organised? What would you do on a daily routine? Would you have seamanship lessons as well as
oh yeah, you had the lot. First of all, you had a naval uniform, but you didn't wear it all the time, not that. You wore a jersey, black shorts and stockings. And tops of the stockings had rings round. They were all colours. If they were red, you belonged to a certain house. If they were white, you belonged to another one. Mine were red. I belonged to Cornwallis first as a junior school. And then when I got older, I went to a senior school, which was Blake, which was also red. So people looking at you could look at your socks and say, oh, he's in Blake House, he's in Cornwallis. Like that.
And who were the teachers, or were the instructors at that time?
Well, you had a mixture of civilian, the civilian side of it. You had it was run by a headmaster, Mr. Sheldrake, and he was backed up with a Mr. Lumsden. And as regards, they did all the scholastic side of it. You know, like when you went to your mills, you had a main dining hall. You all mustered there for meals. You stood up by your table. Mr. Lumsden, up on the balcony, blew his whistle. And when he blew it the second time, you sat down and ate your meal. After you'd ate your meal, he blew his whistle again. You stood up. And then he blew it twice and you could dismiss. That was for meals.
And that was the civilian side. What was the name?
The other side of it was run by... just not a lot of it, but the like of the rifle range, which was underground beside the mass, that was run by a GPO Cooper, and we did a lot of training down in the rifle range, getting used to rifle and rifle shooting. Seamanship classes, obviously, you had naval personnel, but living quarters, you had big blocks. They were all numbered after admirals, like Blake House, Collingwood House, Raleigh House, Hawke House, all those. And if you belonged to them, that's what you belonged to. Each of those houses had a housemaster. Ours was a Mr. Dowell. He was a tall civilian, but a teacher. And he was backed up with a nurse, Sister Bishop. So Blake House was run by Sister Bishop and Mr. Dowell, and we all stayed and lived there. That was our living and central quarters.
What did they look like?
Who?
Your living and sleeping arrangements. What did they?
Now you had a great big double-ended building. On the bottom floor was recreation room. Up top, you had the whole of one side was a dining, was a dormitory. Beds all the way along, right the way along, about 40, I suppose. And on the other side were recreational. And in the middle was shower rooms, shower. So at night, 7:30, you retired. 7:30, you went upstairs. You stood alongside your bed and you put on a flannel nightshirt that came just below your knees. Very ticklish flannel nightshirt. And you stood there until Mr. Dowell came up, and then he would say to the shower, and you went to the shower. He'd either give you a hot shower or a cold shower, whichever he thought it was. Usually in the morning it was a cold shower to wake you up, and at night it was a warm one. Then you went back to your dormitories and you stood by your beds. If there was no one for punishment, he would say, turn in, and you turned in. If there was someone in that house who had been awarded punishment, and by this I mean cuts of the cane, then Mr. Dowell would administer them after the shower at night time. Now, I collared that once when I was shooting a pea shooter, and unfortunately it the Sister Bishop. She wasn't happy about that, and she reported me to the housemaster, who took away the catapult and awarded me 3 cuts of the cane. So when my turn came, we all stood beside the bed, and then he said, meant for punishment to the middle, and I went back to the centre of the dormitory. And then he was there, 6 foot two, he was slim and a very good golfer. And he would be there with his cane, and I would be stood to attention. He would tap my shoulder, and then I would bend down and touch my toes. Then he would take a couple of trial taps, and then bang, and you shot upright, and you were allowed to rub your backside until he tapped your shoulder again, and then you went down again, and you took three of those. I had three. The result of that was for about a fortnight after, you had three nice black lines across your backside. Anyway, that was the other side of punishment. There was another side, which was dealt with by the teaching and academic staff. In other words, if you were in classroom. Now I caught up three in the classrooms, unfortunately, but it happened. We were having class, and it wasn't a very interesting subject, a bit historical. And the master, in all the head teachers wore mortarboards and gowns, and they would all during the instructional hours. And they had a habit of wandering up and down and round, as they were telling you. Anyway, I was a bit bored, and I was doodling on the page, and I was doing a caricature of the master. And I said I had his mortarboard on at a rakish angle and a bigger nose than he actually had. And then all of a sudden, I had a tap on the shoulder, and he simply said, "Go and get the cane and the punishment book." I said, well, I knew what that was. So I had to go along to the headmaster's study and knock at the door. And then someone said, "Come in." I went in, presenting myself at his desk, and he said, "Yeah." I said, "Punishment book and cane, sir." He said, "Well, the canes are over there in the corner in that cupboard." He said, "Now open the cupboard and choose what cane you want." So I went over and opened the cupboard door, and there was all these canes. Thick ones, medium-sized, small ones. So I thought, well, I don't know about this. The thick ones are going to leave a big mark. The thin ones are going to leave a cut. So I'll go for the middle one. So I chose a middle one, cane, and I collected the book and went back. Okay, so the headmaster said, not the headmaster, the instructor said, "Right, bend over." And I said, I took three of the best from him, and then I returned the book and cane. But that was the forms of punishment in the Royal Hospital, except for one more. I said, and the other one was very serious crimes. Now, on that score, I'm talking about sexual or others that are very serious. If they weren't to be taken all the way, they were dealt with by the captain of this school, the RN captain or whoever. And I said he would maybe order 12 of the best. Now, 12 of the best were delivered in the gymnasium just before 12 noon. So that if someone had been awarded 12 of the best, he would be taken to the gymnasium under the clock tower and put across a vaulting box. And then the master arms would come, plus a medical officer, plus two or three other officers, witnessing officers. And I said, at the stroke of 12... they would start with one, the master arms would deliver the cuts. And according to how long, how many he could take or not, was decided by the medical officer. From my point of view, that was in my day, and I'm talking, what, about 1934, was the mode of punishment in there.
You said serious crimes, you said sexual. Would that be for things like theft as well?
Or? Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I suppose theft... probably get three. As simple as that. But that's how it went. I think that the highest you would have got was 12. Anything after that, you'd be, slung out.
You told me about obviously, what happens at night time when you were retiring to bed.
Yeah.
Can you take me through a sort of an ordinary day from the time you woke up, what you would do and the type of things you would be involved with?
Yeah, right. Okay, so you got shook at about 6:30 a.m. And then it was jump out, rush to the, double along to the showers. And the housemaster would decide whether to give you hot or cold. Normally it was a cold one to wake you up. You went back, you dressed. From there you went across to the dining hall, which was quite a way away. It was central, whereas the houses were staggered all around the place. You went there, you had your meal. And then you went, and then it depended. Sometimes you would be in class all day on educational instruction, science, all sorts. We did most of it, science labs and everything like that, you know, historical, all the lot. After 4 o'clock, say, after you could go to voluntary sports on the sports fields. Well, there was plenty of that going there, football, hockey, everything, you know. And by the way, that was in those days, it was only a male place. You had no females there. Nowadays you have. It's a mixed. But in those days, we were just males. And then you did your sports and all that lot. And then you had the evening clear, and at 7:30 it was up to the shower and to bed. As simple as that.
You mentioned some of the subjects that you did. Was there any emphasis placed on, say, Royal Naval history when they were teaching historical subjects, or was it pure history?
Well, it was both. You certainly got your whack of naval history, and you got your whack of the other. It was well spread schedule, you know.
And you also mentioned earlier as well when you'd have seamanship instruction. Would the day sometimes be divided that way?
Oh yeah, yeah. You might have a whole afternoon in the seamanship, and where you did knots and splices and things like that.
How did they teach you to do knots?
Well, you lined up. There'd be a long wire stretched across, and all along the wire would be these ropes, and you just you had a naval instructor going along, and he'd say, "Right, do a sheep shank," and you did it. And as he went along, if it was okay, it was okay. If not, he'd put you right. Or and then you had all sorts of different knots, running bowling and bowling, things like that. It was. You learnt to do the knots.
Would you do any bolt work as well on the oar well?
To my recollection, no. We never, ever, to my knowledge, in those days, went in a boat. We never went outside the boundary at the bottom. The river ran along the bottom. That was the bottom edge of the grounds, and we never went on the water at all.
You mentioned as well there was a rifle range.
Yeah.
How did the instruction take place there? Who would do it?
Well, it's straightforward. You went down into the rifle range. You lined up on your mats. You had the targets at the far end. I don't know, maybe 25 yards. And they were all up there. And then the instructor just told you to lift your rifles, open your bolts, ammunition in, close your bolts, line up, and then when you was ready, fire. And if you got a ball in, you got a little bit of congratulations. If you didn't, you got a stream of abuse.
What type of a shot were you?
I was about medium. I found it all right. No problem. It was pretty straightforward.
And with that side of things, did you have any sort of... Well, I was going to ask actually, was there a mast? Because I was thinking... Like HMS Ganges had
a mast, that's right,
it?
Yeah.
Was that the same?
Oh, we had one there, yeah, big and quite a good mast. And it had a safety net around the bottom. This one did. It had a safety net around the bottom. Very good for instructional purposes. And very good for other purposes. I found that naturally, as boys, we used to like to have a drag at a fag now and again if we could get hold of them, you know. But if you were caught smoking, then you could say cuts. You were lined up for cuts. There was no doubt about that. 3, maybe 6, or whatever. Smoking was usually about 3 cuts. And it amazed me how many were caught in the toilets beside the colonnade. Whereas I and my mate had a good idea. Maybe if I was an instructor now, I would have... Anyway, what we used to do is at night time, we used to go up the mast at night, it was dark, to the first platform, and then, providing we cut the fag in our hands, we could smoke away to our heart's content, because the wind took all the smoke away. Everything was fine, and also we could see who was about down below. So we could go up there and have a blooming good drag, and then push off back to the house. It was that simple. But if I was an instructor now, I would be aware of that, and I'd probably be at the bottom of the mast before I was at the heads.
And was it important that you learned to climb the mast?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had to do our instructions. We had to go up, and we had to be able to go up and come down. But nothing special. They didn't make you button boys to stand on the top of the mast and all that. It was straightforward, climb the mast and come down.
Was there any of the pupils who couldn't do that?
Some of them, yeah, well, I don't quite know what happened to them. They were probably let off. I just don't know. I used to go up and get it over and come down the other side, and that was it.
So I take it you didn't have any problems with heights or anything?
Well, quite frankly, I'm not very keen on heights. I'll be quite honest here. I'm not at all keen on heights. But in those days, it doesn't matter whether you were or not, you went up. If he said, go up the mast, you went up. As simple as that.
The thing I wanted to ask you is about, you mentioned obviously eating there. What was the food like?
Well, from my point of view, it was quite good. It was, you had quite good meals. You were in a main dining hall. You had, say, soup, main meal, and you had a sweet. And it was very good.
Did you feel hungry while you were there, or...?
No. You've just got 3 leaves a year. Easter, summer and Christmas. 2 weeks. You went home in Navy uniform with Royal Hospital School on your cap. And you, other than that, you never went outside the gate unless you were in a controlled rambling party. And I only went on 2 of them.
Were there inspections at all of your kit and clothing at all, other than the evening one?
Oh, no. Oh, well, we had our weekend stuff. We had Sunday divisions on the parade in full Navy uniform, inspections and march pass. All that lot, we were taught, march pass, Navy inspections, church after, and then back and change. Oh, yeah.
Did you do drill at all on the...
Yeah, we had sessions of periods of squad drill on the parade. We had a lovely parade, big tarmac parade.
And who would take that? Would that be the naval?
Yeah,
instructors. What were they like? What were they?
I don't remember much about them because we were more or less used to the scholastic side and the housework. But if we had to do parade, we just did it. We didn't bother. He was shouting the orders, so it didn't really worry me.
Were they still serving in the Royal Navy by that stage? Or would it be sort of the last part?
Well, at that age, I was only 13. I didn't know if they were or whether they were been outside and come back in on that as a sort of R&R business, you know.
So how did you find your time there? Did you enjoy your time at the school, or did you...?
Yeah, I found it interesting, yeah.
And when you first arrived, did you have to sort of sign on at the school?
No,
or was it just that you were purely have an education?
No, you had entered Royal Naval School. You were a dependent of former naval personnel or Marines, whatever. You were the sons of former and you were There was no charge, no fee charge, and you didn't sign up for anything. What you did is when you were around 15, you were taken to HMS Shotley and went through the old usual medical educational, and you went into the Navy proper.
But you didn't have to. You could say, I don't want to go into the Navy at that stage.
Well, to me, I was destined, I suppose, to please my father to go in the Navy, so I never came across that.
Were a lot of the, most of the pupils go into the Navy?
Oh, yeah, most of them. I didn't. I didn't, because although I expected to, when my time came, it was Shotley for medicals and education. We did the educational. And if I'd have gone through, I would have stayed at Shotley and gone through the Navy. But we were all lined up for the medical. And by that I was 15. We were all lined up, start naked, obviously, in a long line. And this commander, a surgeon commander, I suppose, came along looking us up and down, and, you know, and he came along and he looked us all up and down, and then he turned around and he came back to me and had another look up and down. He said, hi, looking at my feet, he said, how long you had them? I said, I reckon when I was born. He said, no, he said, those bloody bunions, how long you had them bunions? And I looked down, I couldn't see any. I said, well, I didn't know. I said, I didn't know I had any. He said, well, you have. You've got bunions coming there. He said, and later on, they're going to cause you a bit of trouble. I said, oh, didn't know that, sir. And he carried on. And then afterwards, when I got back to the school, I was sent for and told that I'd been medically discharged. In other words, because I had signs of bunions, the Navy didn't want me. So they said, well, what do you want to do? You know, a week or so later, said, well, what do you want to do? You won't leave here without a job. Now, you've got a choice. They said you can go to a London hotel as a pantry boy. You can go somewhere else, I don't know, you know, two or three. And then they came up with, or you can go in the Merchant Navy as a deck boy. I said, well, that sounds better, a deck boy. I said, providing it went from Southampton, because I lived just up the road at Lymington. And eventually I was sent for, kitted up with a Union Castle uniform. That was a blue jersey with Union Castle in white across the chest, and a round sailor's hat. And I was dispatched to Southampton to join the Warwick Castle, Union Castle mail steam liner that went between Madeira, Cape Town, Durban, East London, and then came back.
How did you feel about not getting into the Navy?
I wasn't that very pleased, really, because I thought, well, I'll carry on. So I hadn't much option. I thought, well, this was pre-war, obviously, and with a medical exam like that, I thought, well, that's a bit. Anyway, I went on this liner, a big liner, the Union Castle liner. Had a lot of experiences on there with a lot of actresses, actors, and prominent people, VIPs, travelling to South Africa. Among them was Kid Berg, the boxer, was going for a big fight there. We used to get on deck and talk to the passengers. They were very good like that. Had a very interesting run right down the west coast of Africa, where you had all sorts of entertainment going down. When you got to Cape Town, you went up to East London, Port Elizabeth, Durban. Turned round at Durban, come back, loaded up at Cape Town, came back to Southampton. 10 days off. And if, when you went off, you signed a paper, it meant you could come back and do the next trip.
So was it you would only sign on really for the trip?
Yeah, for the trips. Well, after three trips, I'd found it a bit boring. It was same old routine, same trip, same old thing. So on the third trip, I got in Southampton. I was going from the docks to the Civic Centre to get the Hanson Dorset bus from the Civic Centre to Lymington for the 10 days holiday. And I passed the Royal Naval Recruiting Office on the way, so I popped in. And they said, OK, you want to join us? Yeah. So they said, well, we'll give you... A couple of days after I got word to go to Southampton, I did a medical, I did an educational, and I was back in the Navy.